Good evening. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8. If you want to use the church Bible, you'll find our text tonight on page 1301. Last week, we looked at verses 18 to 25. Where we're told that our sufferings in the present cannot be compared with our glorious future. And you'll remember we talked about how our glorious future in Romans 8 is life in a renewed world with a redeemed body forever. And so in the meantime, what should we be doing? We should be eagerly waiting for our glorious future and waiting with hope in the Lord and waiting with patient perseverance. Tonight we're just going to look at verses 26 and 27, where Paul speaks of the help we are given in prayer by the Holy Spirit. So let's give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we'll stop there at the end of verse 27. Yesterday, a man came to my house to pick up the old basketball goal that we were selling, and as I'm standing in the doorway watching this man trying to finagle this large basketball goal, I thought I should offer to help him. And so I said, "You know, sir, do you need any help with that?" And you could tell at first he was like, "I think I can do this on my own," but then quickly realized, "But if you're offering, I think I'll take you up on it." And as I'm standing there watching him, that made a lot of sense to me, because it's easy for us to say we don't need the help, but how often we do need the help and should take advantage of it. Well, this evening we're going to see that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses regarding prayer. And while we may pridefully think we do not need His help, we may not consciously think that, but we may actually think that, we should have the response of this guy yesterday in my backyard. Because not only is it wise to accept the Spirit's help, it's absolutely essential. In fact, I hope that you'll see tonight, it's a downright no-brainer to accept the Spirit's help. Because the Spirit's help is that needed by us, and it is that advantageous to us. And what we're going to see tonight is that the way to accept the Spirit's help is actually by praying. It's by praying that we receive the Spirit's help. And that is how His aid comes to us. It's not by being passive and doing nothing. It's actually by being active and doing something. In particular, it's by praying. And so as we consider our prayer helper tonight, what must we do in light of His help? We must pray. And we must do so constantly. And so if you're looking at the outline, that's our main point of application this evening. Knowing you as a Christian have the help of the Holy Spirit, pray and do so confidently. Well, the first thing we're going to look at from the text tonight in these two verses is that you and I, we are weak in many ways, especially when it comes to prayer. In verse 26, Paul says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses." And the word translated weaknesses here is a broad term. It's a term that covers all different kinds of weaknesses and infirmities that we would have as fallen human beings. And so, for one, it speaks of our physical weaknesses. If you remember what we saw last week, just the verses prior in Romans 8, the world in which we live has been subjected to futility, and it's under the bondage of corruption. It's a sin-cursed world, and it suffers from the effects of sin. And you'll remember last week we talked about, by extension, that's true for our human bodies as well. We have bodies that are broken. We have bodies that are sin-cursed, that do not function as they should, that are in need of attention, that are prone to many problems, right? We have that physical weakness. Now, we also have spiritual weakness. Right? We don't obey the Lord as we should. We desire so many of the wrong things. Our hearts are often cold and careless when it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to obeying Him, when it comes to living a holy life. And that's also because, as we saw last week, we're not yet to glory. We're waiting for glory, but we're not there yet. And so we've not yet been perfected, and we have then this spiritual weakness. So as we think of our own lives, and I trust you can see this in your own life as I can see it in mine, we have physical weakness, we have spiritual weakness. And as Paul goes on in verse 26, he says that is especially true when it comes to prayer. Robert Murray McShane once said, "If you want to humble a Christian, ask about his prayer life." And I think that's a genius quote. If you want to humble a Christian, ask about his prayer life. Because every Christian, at least this has been my experience, and I'm sure this is your experience, if you ask the Christian, what is an area of your life that you think needs to improve, prayer is most often the first thing that's ever mentioned. Right? That's where we need improvement. We always see need for improvement when it comes to prayer. Have you ever fallen asleep in prayer? Unable to keep your eyes open? Have you ever been distracted in prayer? Finding your thoughts wandering off to other things? Have you ever been bored in prayer? Right? Wishing it would end so that you could go on to the next thing? Have you ever been apathetic in prayer? Not really caring about the things that are being said, whether by you or by someone else. Have you ever gone through the motions in prayer, doing so only to appease your guilty conscience? Right? All of those things have been true of me, and I'm sure they've been true of you as well. Why does that happen? Well, Paul says here it's because of our weaknesses. Right? We have weaknesses when it comes to prayer. Right, but if you look again at verse 26, Paul says, but there's actually a bigger weakness when it comes to prayer. A far more significant weakness than staying awake in prayer or not being bored in prayer. And that is when he says in verse 26, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, our biggest weakness when it comes to prayer is our ignorance. It's our ignorance. That is our primary problem. You may remember in the Gospels when the mother of James and John came to Jesus asking Jesus, can my two sons sit on your right hand and your left hand in your kingdom? And do you remember how Jesus responded to that mother's request? He said, you do not know what you ask. You do not know what you ask, because their request was entirely misguided and inappropriate. Right? They were confused. They were asking for the wrong things. Well, our text tells us tonight that's what we're all prone to do, whether we realize it or not. Right? Because with regard to the content of prayer, we are especially weak. We ask for the wrong things. We tend not to ask for the right things. Now, that doesn't happen all of the time, thankfully. But a lot of the time, that is what happens. Again, whether we're consciously aware of that happening or not. And our prayers often come from the wrong motives. Our prayers often desire the wrong ends. Our prayers often lack the full picture. Why is that? Paul says it's because we're weak in prayer. Right? We don't have an accurate or complete understanding of situations. We do not know what is truly needed in those situations either. And in many ways, you could say that we are like doctors trying to practice medicine, but who never went to med school when it comes to our souls. Right? So we may notice that some things are wrong, but we don't know the right way to address those things. And worse yet, we miss many of the ailments that are also in need of treatment. Right? We lack this knowledge, and that comes through in our prayers. Matthew Henry says, as to the matter of our requests, we know not what to ask. We are not competent judges of our own condition. Right? And to make it worse, we're often consumed with selfishness, where we care most about ourselves. What do I think is right? What do I want? What pleases me the most? And that also comes through in our prayers and is often what leads us astray in our prayers. Right? Our self-centeredness also reveals our ignorance in the things for which we should be praying. James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Right? So one of the things we have to realize is that very much is our problem as fallen human beings. We know that we should pray. In many ways, we know how we should pray. And yes, we do know to a degree what we should be praying for. But in a far greater way, the text tonight is telling us. But when it comes down to it, we really don't know what we should be praying for, because we lack all the right information. Our minds are confused. Our hearts are depraved. We have a great weakness, and as a result, we have a great ignorance. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That is our biggest weakness when it comes to prayer. But the good news is, as Christians, we're not left to ourselves in our weakness. Because as we see secondly on the outline, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to help with our weakness in prayer. So again, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. If you remember previously in Romans 8, Paul has told us of the many ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit is talked about so many times in this one chapter of Scripture. And so, for instance, we have seen that the Holy Spirit sets us free from the law of sin and death, verse 2. The Holy Spirit leads us in the paths of righteousness, verse 4. The Holy Spirit enables us to please God, verse 8. The Holy Spirit will raise our bodies from the dead, verse 11. The Holy Spirit causes us to cry out, Abba, Father, verse 15. Now, the Holy Spirit assures us that we are the children of God, verse 17. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we will receive our glorious future, verse 23. These are all things we've talked about. These are all ways the Holy Spirit has helped us. Well, likewise, as Paul says at the beginning of verse 26, here's yet another way the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us with our weaknesses in prayer. And He does so by, one, making intercession for us, two, with groanings which cannot be uttered, and three, according to the will of God. So let's consider each of those in turn. First, the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer by making intercession for us. And to make intercession is to plead on our behalf. In particular, it's to plead on our behalf in prayer to God. So when we intercede for others, right, boys and girls, you might think of the long prayer on a Sunday morning in the service, right? We're praying for one another. Even tonight, we were praying for one another. We're making intercession. We're pleading to God on behalf of other people that God would meet their needs. And so when the Spirit of God makes intercession for us, what is the Spirit doing? He's praying for us. Okay, He's praying for us. Now, it's interesting. To be clear, Jesus is also praying for us. Aaron mentioned this at the end of his prayer today. In fact, if you look down at verse 34, Paul says that Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Right? So Jesus, as our great high priest, is praying for us and making intercession for us. But here in verse 26, Paul says the Holy Spirit is also praying for us and making intercession for us. So as believers, we have two intercessors. That's a great gift. We have the second person of the Trinity praying for us. We have the third person of the Trinity praying for us. Right? Jesus is interceding for us in the Father's presence in heaven. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us from right here in our hearts, where He lives on earth. Zechariah 12 tells us that the Spirit is a spirit of grace and a spirit of supplication. And so the Spirit is praying for us. But how does the Spirit make intercession for us? Paul says he does so with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's the second point, apart for us to consider under this point. Now, as you might expect, there is a lot of disagreement and a lot of discussion as to the nature of these groanings. Many words have been written over these groanings. What are the groanings exactly? Who is doing the groaning? Much has been said about this. Well, to be clear up front, let me say, in case you've heard this before, the groanings are not a reference to speaking in tongues. Okay, many people do say that's the case. That is not the case. The groanings are also not, I heard another pastor mention this once, not supporting this, but stating this is what happens. When we're praying together and you agree with something you hear and you let out the audible, right? That's not what Paul's talking about either, right? Not the prayer grunt, as it's been put. Okay, so we've got that out of the way. Those are not the groanings. The other thing I want to say here is there is reason to believe that the groanings are from us. If you remember last week, what else and who else is groaning in Romans 8? The creation is groaning. We saw that last week. We also are groaning, waiting to be in glory. So groaning, in a sense, does seem to be what those who are under the curse of sin are doing. The Holy Spirit is certainly not under the curse of sin. And so as a result of that, some would say the Spirit of God is not the one groaning. We are the ones groaning. I believe, though, the Spirit of God is still the one who's groaning in the text. This is very much what's going on. That the Spirit is groaning, and He is groaning, we're told, in an unutterable manner. Because that is how the Spirit makes intercession for us. In other words, he prays for a way for us in a way that we cannot hear, and in a way that we cannot understand, but in a way that is heard and known by God the Father in heaven. John Murray puts it this way: the groanings are not expressed in articulate speech. They are not requests or petitions or supplications which are formulated in intelligible utterance. He goes on, while far from being devoid of content, meaning, and intent, they nevertheless transcend articulated formulation. Right? So in other words, as the Spirit of God is praying for us from within our own hearts, He does so in a way that is too deep for human words, as some of your English Bibles may have it. Right? And the best part is, when He makes these groanings of intercession for us, He always does so in accordance with the will of God. And that's the third part to consider under this point. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Right, this is one of the reasons why we have this weakness. You and I, we do not know what we should pray for because we do not know the will of God. Right? We know the revealed will of God in Scripture. But even then, we don't often pray in accordance with it. But no matter what, we certainly do not know the decreed will of God. Right? What God has planned from eternity and what is then played out in His providence. And that's why our prayers often go astray. That's why they're often misguided in their requests. We don't know all that we should about what God wants, what God is going to do, and what God thinks is best for us. But the Holy Spirit does. Right? The Holy Spirit does. He knows the will of God, both the revealed will and the decreed will, and He knows it completely and perfectly. And so while we may not have that information, the Spirit of God does know exactly what God wants, exactly what God is going to do, and exactly what God thinks is best, which means He also knows then exactly what we should be praying for, that we do not know. All right, this is how the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses in prayer. In the words of one author, invisibly and inaudibly, He takes our prayers and makes them conform to the perfect will of God. Right? And so what I want you to see here is that as he's praying for us, he's not taking our place. Right? We're still the ones praying. We'll come back to that later. But the Spirit is then perfecting our prayer. Another author has said the Spirit fixes our prayers on the way up. That's a helpful picture for me. Right? As we pray with all of our weaknesses, with all of our ignorance, the Spirit takes our prayers and He transforms them into what they should be. Right? So that through His unutterable silent groanings, they come before the Father perfectly in accordance with His will. Last year I needed to move some heavy furniture into my basement. I guess this is a theme of my life, I'm realizing. Moving heavy things and needing people to help. And so we had very heavy furniture a couple years ago. We needed to move into our basement. And I couldn't do it by myself. Ann and I couldn't do it by myself or by ourselves. And so we called some guys in the church who came over and helped us with that. And so as I'm on one end and these guys are on other ends, we were able to successfully get it in place. And I want you to have that image in your mind as we talk about our text tonight, whether it's that image or another similar image, because that is exactly what Paul's talking about when he mentions the Spirit's help in prayer. The word here, help, in verse 26 is actually a compound word that means with, for, help. With, for, help. And that's the key, because that's how the Spirit gives His help. He does not take over. He does not lift the furniture for us all by Himself. No, He grabs an end of the furniture and He comes alongside us and He lifts with us. And so if you're united to Christ by faith, when you pray to God, the Spirit who lives in you is praying with you and He is praying for you. You can't hear it. You can't see it. But He is taking your imperfect prayers and He is transforming them into perfect prayers so that they come to God in heaven asking for exactly what you need, for exactly what God wants, for exactly what God thinks is best. That's the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer. He lifts the other end of the furniture so that it comes into the place where it should be. And so if you're a saint, Paul says in verse 27, that's your blessing. And you have that blessing because Jesus Christ, as He ascended to heaven, sent out His Spirit to come and be with you. And so then, as we come to our third and final point on the outline, knowing you have the help of the Holy Spirit, pray and do so confidently. Verse 27 again. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I mentioned earlier, we may not know what the Spirit is praying for us, but God the Father, who is the great searcher of hearts, verse 27, we actually sang about that earlier in Psalm 26, the great searcher of hearts, God the Father, does know what the Spirit is praying for us. And Paul says He knows the mind of the Spirit. And so He hears the groanings and He understands the groanings of the Spirit from within us. And not only that, since the Spirit always prays for us according to the will of God, God always hears and God always answers the Spirit's requests on our behalf. 1 John 5:14-15. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Right? This is the great assurance of the Bible. Prayers offered to God are heard and answered by Him when they are in accordance with His will. And what Romans 8 is saying tonight is that every single prayer offered to God on our behalf by the Spirit comes to God in perfect accordance to His will. Right? Meaning the Spirit's perfect prayers will never once go unanswered. And again, what a blessing that is, to have the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus. And so what are we to do in light of this blessing? First, we're to pray. We are to pray. Because the thing we have to remember is that the Holy Spirit does not take over and pray in our place. But as I said earlier, He comes alongside us and prays with us. So going back to moving the heavy furniture into my basement, the men who came over did not come over to do all of the work for me. Now, they could have done all of the work for me, and I'm sure I didn't do nearly as much work as they did, right? But the intention was I'd still have my hands on the furniture, and I would still be exerting strength to get it where it needed to be. And so it is with prayer and the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit helps us when we pray. And so if we want the Spirit's help, and we certainly should, given what we've seen tonight, then what are we to do? We're to pray. Right? Whether we know what to say or not, we're to pray. Whether we feel like it or not, we're to pray. Right? This is why we should never give up on prayer. This is why we should persevere through our many weaknesses and not let them keep us from prayer. This is why you should pray even if you cannot think of what to say other than the words, God, I need you. That's all you can say. That's enough. You can't even say that, but you can cry out to Him. That's enough. Romans 8 says, the Spirit prays for us when we put forth the effort to pray ourselves. So don't be discouraged by your many weaknesses in prayer, but rather let them keep driving you back to prayer because you need the help of the Spirit. Commentator Douglas Moo says, when we do not know what to pray for, yes, even when we pray for things that are not best for us, we need not despair, for we can depend on the Spirit's ministry of perfect intercession on our behalf. And so then as we pray, we should do so confidently. That's the second response we should have. Pray confidently, because no matter what we say, and no matter what we do not say, whether it's short-sighted, whether it's selfish, whether it's totally mistaken, Romans 8 says the Spirit's always going to fix it for us. He's always going to fix it. And if the Spirit's always going to fix it, we should not worry about it. Now, I want to be clear, that does not mean we should ever be lazy in formulating the content of our prayers. By no means. But at the same time, we are to rest assured in the One who is always transforming our prayers. And Derek Thomas puts it this way, the Spirit knows the will of God. His presence with us provides us with reassurance that no matter how mixed up we may be, He will overrule for us. Isn't that great? We are so mixed up, and we don't even realize it. But no matter how mixed up we are, the Spirit of God will always overrule. Always perfect what we say. Always conform it to the will of God. And as a result, whether we like the ways in which it comes to us or not, we are always blessed by the Father as the Spirit's prayers are answered. That's the response we should have to the Spirit's help. We pray, and we pray confidently in light of it. So let me leave you with a question tonight. Are you praying? Boys and girls, are you praying? Some of you may have been praying your entire life. Some of you may just be starting to pray now. But let us all, by the grace of God, seek the Lord in prayer as those who trust in Jesus Christ, knowing we have the help of the Spirit. Pray and do so confidently. Let's pray together and ask for His grace. Lord, it is truly astounding if we stop and actually think about it, to know that Christ is at your right hand and He is ensuring that our prayers are coming to your ears and to your heart. We thank you that even here in our hearts, the Spirit of God is transforming our prayers and bringing them to you in perfection. Lord, that is a gift because we are so weak when it comes to prayer. We're often blind to our weakness, and so we thank you for revealing it to us this evening in this text. And we pray, Lord, that we would depend on the Spirit's help, that we would not be lazy in our prayers, that we would pray, and we would pray confidently, knowing that if we've said the wrong things, and if we're misguided, or if we don't know what to say, we can rest in the fact the Spirit knows exactly what to say. He not only knows what to say, He is saying it. And he's saying it for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for sending us the Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for your help. Give it to us even in this prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.